what up, Q? What up, Radio World?
We got something to prove tonight, and we start the whole Falco Tango. Heavy, anything moves, we knock out. Let's go.
I am the greatest.
Go play intramurals, brother.
But they are who we thought they were.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. You play to win.
Do you have any questions? I got a question. You got any excuses tonight, Roy?
Playoffs? What are you talking about? Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
What are we talking about? Practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice?
What's going on, people? All right. I want to welcome all of you to another edition of the Very Unsportsmanlike Podcast. My name is Quincy, and this is my podcast. And on tonight's show, we'll be discussing, let's see, what was it, week 10 in the NFL? We're up to week 10 now. You know, it seems like the season just, you know, they just had the draft, and now we're already looking at people trying to get in the playoffs. Oh, boy. This is the time of year I start to get depressed because I know football is wrapping up. But anyway, we still have 7 more weeks to enjoy. So let me... phone lines and welcome on my man Buck down in Pensacola, Florida, and the homie Eminem in Jackson, Mississippi. What up, fellas?
Hey, what up? What up, guys?
What up?
All right, all right. And glad to have you on. And all right, guys, so first things first, COVID, you know, coronavirus is getting crazier and crazier. And it's starting to run through the sports world. I mean, how y'all feeling about it?
No surprises. We pretty much all knew that it wasn't going to be no flawless season for anybody that attempted on any level, you know. And as predicted, now that we pretty much getting into the harder flu season, I mean, you know, the stuff is getting worse. So, you know, kind of like some of the crazy predictions I did was based on, you know, some people possibly not playing, and that's starting to happen on every level. You know, even some of the high school playoffs here being impacted already, you know, with people, you know, pretty much being eliminated by the virus more so than on the field. So
yeah, and I mean, the Raiders have put 7 on the list. The Raiders keep COVID.
Yeah, you can tell them teams that ain't following protocols.
Too. Yeah, no,
it's tight.
No,
it's tight.
No,
I mean, you know.
You see it. I mean, because, you know, when you go to the
Tennessee Titans,
you know, other areas, yeah, when you're going outside the area, when you're going outside, you know, going to other venues, and hey, I get it. In years past, you go to certain places each time you go, but this is not your average year. I mean, you really have to, you know, stay on the protocol. And if you don't stay on the protocol, then you're opening up yourself to getting it and screwing up your team. And the teams that are doing everything right are pretty much staying out of the protocol. The teams that are not doing everything right are in the protocol, you know, very often. So, you know, it's just one of those things. We see it in the college world. We've seen COVID in just about every facet, from golf to NASCAR. We've seen it. So you just have to follow those, you know, those protocol, you know, follow it to a letter. Almost like put yourself in a bubble so that way you can stay in contention.
Yeah, you're right about that. No?
Yeah, and what's hard to understand about some of the not so much the college and definitely not the high schools, but what's kind of hard for me to understand with some of the professional guys is, okay, you know, your trainer might say, hey, I don't want you to lose any weight in the off season. You know, I want all my defensive tackles to weigh a certain amount so they can discipline themselves to do that. You know, even on the level of boxing, guys can, stop eating certain ways, train certain ways, you know, don't deal with women. These guys are used to discipline. So something as simple as, you know, you can get your ass up 4:30 in the morning, work out, be the first one in the meeting room, leave that, don't see your family, you hitting weights and running drills, but something as simple as like, hey, man, shit, you know, stay away 6 feet, put on a fucking mask, it's the end of the world. So that's kind of funny when you're talking about professionals that's very used to some type of strict protocol anyway, you know. So, you know, what's one more on the list? Seems like they could do it better than anybody, so I don't know.
It's going to be a struggle, man. But I'm going to shift gears a little bit. And the NBA draft is going on right now. And I got to be honest with you. I don't know any of these dudes, okay? I mean, LaMelo was playing overseas. The guy from Memphis, the center from Memphis, played 3 games last year. And then he, I guess, opted out to get ready for the draft. And the guy that went number one, Anthony Edwards, I may have seen him in a tournament game. I don't know. I really don't know him. And so, Eminem, start with you on this first, man. Does the NBA draft matter to you anymore? Because a lot of these guys, I don't know. I mean, I may have heard their names, but I don't really know them, what style of play they are or any of that. And then, like a lot of times in the NBA, out of the – you know, I guess 60-something people that get drafted, only like 10 of them are ever any good.
Yeah, and I think some of it has to do with the overseas market now, and some of it also has to do with the way super teams are built. And, you know, the people that's already established say, well, I'm just going to go play with LeBron. I'm just going to go play with, you know, Jimmy Butler or something like that. So that process that we used to seeing sort of in the NFL, we're not seeing no more in the NBA, and we probably never going to see it again the way it's going. So it's pretty much done diminished the necessity of a highly touted college draft pick. And for one, you know, a lot of kids now are pretty much like, you know, how it was when Anthony Davis came out. It's just like, you know, they're not going to be a 4-year college player like in the early days, like with Jordan and Ralph Sampson and all them. So we you know, we don't know them because shit, most of the time, unless you're on a championship team, we don't see you anyway. You know, so I think all that factors into it. But as far as the answer to the question, nah, man, it's really not even that relevant no more because there's nobody that that seems like they're just going to come over and make some type of impact. I remember Edwards some a little bit on the AAU circuit when he was in high school, but I don't know what kind of – what team got him, do you know?
Minnesota.
Oh, okay. Even with that, I mean, you know, you got – look at the East. Minnesota in the West. How long is it going to be before he makes any kind of impact, you know, with the people that's there now? So that got something to do with it, too. You know, the era you in, who you coming in with, who's already established. You know, you coming in 2 or 3 years after Ja Morant and Anthony Davis and a few more of these other guys that's clearly going to be around for a minute, you might be irrelevant anyway. So all that factors into that stuff, man.
All right. Buck, do you know any of these guys?
I don't know any of them. And I remember having this discussion way back in the earlier shows. These guys are coming out way too early. I understand they tried to make a living, trying to make money, all that kind of stuff. But the NBA is just, I mean, the quality of the NBA as a whole has really gone down. I mean, you look at the draft this year, you got about, realistically, in the first round, you lucky if you actually got three or four actual first rounders. We'll just say five at the most. The rest of them shouldn't even be in the first round. It'd be like, they should be like in the third or fourth round, or fifth round or sixth round, equivalent to the NFL. So, you know, you got a bunch of guys that right out of high school, or, you know, lucky if they get the chance to go overseas. And, you know, it takes them, by the time they're playing the NBA talent, it takes them 4 to 6 years to get good before they can get notoriety, or they just ride the pine with big checks. So I think what the NBA needs to do is to, you know, do, you know, and when you see in the NFL, well, we say the college, we'll bring football into this, those guys usually play at least to their junior year. Some of them every once in a while come out as a sophomore. It's usually their junior year that can, you know, they'll commit at that point. That's what they really need to do to kind of get the quality back in the NBA. Because the gap has widened. You got super teams, and then that's it. You know, everybody else is falling way off. And people are turning the TV off because it just the quality of the game just sucks. I'd rather go to a college basketball game, at least I know something is going to be fairly decent, versus going to an NBA game. So something needs to be done, you know, or maybe
I got
get
a
some
solution,
farm
Buck.
Teams or something like that.
I got a solution. It's something that will probably meet you right in the middle. It might work out both ways. Hey, pay these damn boys, man. Pay them so they won't be so tempted to leave early. See, if you are an average kid, I mean, you don't have to be dirt poor. Everybody always uses these extreme analogies, like all the kids coming from the projects. If you come from a two-parent home and both parents working like us, I mean, shit, ain't nobody just got money to throw in the air. So if you tell a kid, shit, I'm going to give your ass, you know, $50,000 while you in Florida State, well, shit, man, to a college kid, that seemed like a millionaire. You already living in the dorm.
Yep.
You eating free. They already catering to the team, so now you can – you know, you got pocket change. Well, you got more than pocket change, you know.
Yeah,
because
$50,000, most people don't make that, you know, depending on where you are. You don't make that in a year. But if you make that in college and you learning something, that might be,
right.
You know,
so these,
that might
see,
be
these,
a way
these boys don't develop, how that little saying go, caviar dreams. I forgot how the lifestyle, rich, famous little thing used to come on. But these
caviar
guys don't develop that budget until they get to the league. But if you tell these guys, say, hey, man, can you stay at Kentucky? Anthony, can you stay here one more year? And, man, shit, we gave you $50,000. Can you stay one more year? Well, guess what? $50,000 to millions, of course that don't stand up. But to somebody who probably don't even have but $150 in their pocket or to their name, shit, that sounds like $1 million when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Because that's all you want.
Right.
All you want to do is stay around one or two more years. Ain't nobody saying if you're a superstar, go ahead and stay 4 years. I'm definitely against that. Unless you just like Kobe or LeBron, just some super freakish talent. But you're right.
Yeah.
You know, they need one more year. But I can't see telling some kid, hey, man, you know, stay here another year for nothing. But if I can offer you, I can't offer you this kind of money. But if I can kind of keep your head above water, can you give me one more year? And you'd be surprised how many of them will say, yeah, I like that, coach.
Yeah.
And it's got better for some of them. Some of them are dropping to the league and they're not ready. And, yeah, they can end up overseas making money. But we all know everyone wants to do it in the NBA. And speaking of the NBA, it's just some craziness going on. Now the Rockets traded for Trevor Ariza. Okay. And that was yesterday, I guess. And now they've already sent Trevor Ariza to Detroit and the number 16 overall pick for a future first round pick. I don't know what's going on in the NBA.
Damn, who
I know
they're
trying to move some of these contracts. Is what it is. It's all about trying to save money.
Yeah, that's what that is. That's exactly what that is.
Yeah.
Now you
but
also,
it just messes stuff up, man. This guy. Go ahead, Buck.
you also got to remember that, you know, Harden, they were trying to trade Harden or gave him a contract, 2-year extension, and he said he didn't want it. He wanted to go to the Nets. That's what he wanted to do. That's where he wanted to be traded. So that just really kind of screwed things up too. Because I mean, you had
that's true.
I think Chris Paul ended up going
Harden
to the.
They say Harden wants to get out of Houston because the owner is a Trump supporter. That's the rumor I'm hearing.
Now, I mean, shit. What rich person? Probably not. Who? I mean, damn.
Man.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh well.
Well, good luck, Harden.
I think the EA is. It's kind of screwed
I'm
up,
shocked
man.
At the Suns, man. They gave up four picks or something for Chris Paul. I'm just like, damn.
And I don't get that either because it's like if you build your team through the draft, the good players you have now, you got through the draft. So why are you throwing away the draft to get somebody else? I mean, I understand that Chris Paul is a valuable player, but I don't understand throwing the draft away for someone just for one person.
Right, and especially Chris Paul. Well, I mean, I'm glad to see him this last two seasons for the most part healthier than what he's been, but he's pretty much been kind of like injury prone. So, I mean, so you're taking a risk on top of risk, and he's getting older.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
You really are. So, like I said, I don't understand the logic behind it, but, you know, I just watch games and see what happens. Don't know half of the people who are playing.
Yeah, but like I say, it's going to be like that for a minute because when all these stars team up on one team, like I say, instead of watching all of the teams, it kind of creates like a void. So it's just like, you know, 1-2 teams in the West, 3-4 teams in the East, and everybody else can go to hell. I mean, that ain't a formula for a complete package. I mean, you know, see, this draft and all that stuff used to mean something because it wasn't no super teams. So if you get the right draft and you get lucky and pick up a free agent, well, you might can compete with somebody who out there like that. But if you're going to get, you know, Harden going to play with KD and somebody else going to play with the Lakers and that kind of stuff, well, you know, everybody else kind of going to be SOL for a minute, you know, trying to do that through the draft because soon you develop that player, they're going to be
right.
Like, well, hey, why don't you just come
moment.
Here?
Eminem, hold on. I got some breaking news. The New Orleans Pelicans just made their pick, a point guard from Alabama named Kira Lewis Jr. That's who New Orleans Pelicans picked up, and I have no idea who he is. I was just going
to
be funny.
I was about to ask you, who is that?
I mean, I watched Alabama play quite a bit last year. They had a former coworker of mine and Eminem's.
Yeah.
Her son played there. He's transferred to Mississippi State for this year. So, I mean, I've watched Alabama. I think I've seen this guy play, but I really don't know him. I've watched about 4 games. But I really don't know what he contributes other than he's fast. I do know he's fast. But one more thing before we get into football, one more non-football related thing. And this is baseball. How about this? New York Mets second baseman Robinson Cano tested positive, not for COVID. He probably wishes it was COVID compared to, well, I shouldn't say that. Nobody wants COVID. But he tested positive for a performance-enhancing drug, something called Stanozolol or something. And it's his second time getting popped. He got popped once in 2018 for a diuretic. And because of that, he's going to miss the entire season. He's been suspended
Damn.
For the entire season. Guess how much the entire season paycheck is, Eminem? $24 million. Now,
Ooh.
Robinson
wow.
Cano is in the ninth year of his 10-year deal. He signed a 10-year deal worth $240 million. So it's not like he doesn't have any money. But Eminem, even a man with $240 million, if you find out that you're going to lose $24 million of that, that's got to hurt your feelings, bro.
Yeah, it's got to hurt, man. Then my thing is, every family member ought to bring out that Homie the Clown hammer and pop upside the head, because they was like, damn, dude, you already in the league. You ain't trying to make it. Shit, nigga, you going to get $24 million regardless. You can suck. You already signed the contract, a baseball guarantee. So why are you trying to enhance anything? Hell, all you got to do with baseball is stay alive. You stay alive, you're going to get your contract. You're going to get your money.
Exactly.
But, Buck, this man is 38 years old, okay? Why does he feel the need to use performing enhancing drugs? You're not going to get another contract. You know what I'm saying? You're 30 years old. You're not going to get another 10-year deal or whatnot. So why is it so important? Like Eminem said, you got money. It's guaranteed. Why forfeit $24 million just for the sake of trying to play?
Well, I mean, you got to think about it. First of all, baseball was one of those sports, kind of like, you know, like cycling, with, you know, where steroids were just a part of the game for so long. And or performance enhancing drugs were a part of the game for so long. So, I mean, these guys, you got young guys out there now that's slapping the ball all around. I mean, it's just like every other sport. They're getting bigger, stronger, faster. So in order for you to compete and keep your job, you know, you got to get an edge. I mean, and that's what he was thinking about. Now, maybe he's coming off an injury or something like that, and he's trying to get himself back quicker so that way he doesn't lose his spot on the team or whatever. I get it. I understand. But the rules in baseball, just like there are in any other sport, you know, they're really tight now. So you have to perform without the performance enhancing drugs. So what does that mean? You got to get out there, do what it takes, or get the ones, you know, get the all natural, whatever you got to do. You get yourself back. Get a good trainer. Do those kind of things so you can get yourself back. You can't use, the performance enhancing drugs to get back sooner. And this clown just doesn't get it. So that $24 million hit him in the pocket. He'll get it then. Or he won't, you know, he got one more year left on his deal, provided they don't release his ass. So we'll see what happens.
But you know what?
You're talking about dumb. Boy, that's dumb.
You talk about he might lose his spot on the team. he just lost spot for the entire season. And, he's still, like Eminem said, all he has to do is be breathing in 2022, and he'll get that last $24 million. And, I'm pretty sure he's going to do all right, you know, having $216 million as opposed to $240. But $24 million is $24 million. I mean, even Jeff Bezos will probably, you know, lose a little sleep over losing $24 million, just like that.
Yeah, and if one of y'all got a calculator on you right quick, divide that shit by 365 and see how much that is a day. See, that's what I used to like to do for kids, so, like, poor people can understand shit when it's broke down. So $24 million, we know it's a lot, but a lot of people listening might not understand exactly what that is. Somebody hit that 365, divide that shit in there, man.
That is $65,753.42 a day. He's losing more a day than most people work making in a year and a half.
That's crazy.
That's absolutely
crazy. Yep.
Oh, there's another
right.
piece of news.
Ooh, when you break it down like that, Eminem, it hurts me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It sounds different when you break it down.
Yeah. I might need to cash out him $20, man. Make sure he's all right. So.
Yeah. Hey, let me break down another piece of news that you may not have heard about. Antonio Brown's back in the news again, and not for a good reason, but a bad reason. Antonio Brown
with that doorbell
shit
or something crazy.
He ended up going off on somebody, I guess, a couple of weeks before he was actually signed by the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers apparently knew about it. This story came out on Monday. And, this could violate his probation that he's on currently. So,
uh-oh.
If that happens, he will be immediately suspended by the National Football League, possibly. So, like I said, Bruce Arians and the, and, you know, the general manager and all that. Yeah. So they definitely knew about it. Supposedly there were no charges filed. They said, you know, it was just a misunderstanding or whatever. He actually broke a camera or something. You know, this is before he moved out of his place and moved into Tom Brady's place, but that's where he's staying right now, so in Tampa. So it remains to be seen if anything comes of this. Supposedly there are no charges filed, but Antonio Brown already, even before he got to Tampa, was acting a fool. So
I don't know that thing. And it won't cost Tampa anything if he drops off right now. Like, if this is something that would have happened like a week before the playoffs, it could have had an impact maybe. But, I mean, dude's barely been there, so it's in trouble right now. I don't think it's going to impact Tampa all that much. But, man, there's no way I'm giving that guy a long-term contract. That guy, I'm going to sign that guy year to year, game to game if can.
Yeah.
His contract,
like I say, he acted a fool on Tomlin, and if he just set his black ass down, we'd have been sitting up here watching him fly past damn near everybody on the receiving all-time receiving list, except for like Rice and, you know, Chris Carter, some of the people that's way up there. But man, right now he been up flew past them. But hey man, Le'Veon Bell did that shit. I was like, man, y'all was in the perfect spot. And, you know, say,
yep.
Shit. Now you sitting up here staying with somebody like you some orphan kid. Man, what the fuck is this, man? It's like, damn, dude, leave go stay with your pee-wee coach or something. Shit. Tom Brady didn't even take in Randy Moss. I'm like, damn, Tom.
Yeah. $750,000. Now, $750,000 is his contract. That's what he signed for Tampa to play, which is basically – the league minimum for a wide receiver. So, you know, he went from all them big contracts he went and went last year. He signed a little bit over, what was it, $2 million deal or $1 million deal with New England. He was only there for 1 week. He only got paid $150,000 game check, and that was it. And now he only can get $750,000. That joker was a 7-time Pro Bowl. So
then he was getting ready to have it made with the Raiders and all this shit about helmet and stuff. I'm like, come on, man. Now, D guy be talking about keep it real. Now you know damn well when you were back in school, if that coach said, hey, the school, the AD said we got to get rid of these old helmets in here. Everybody got new helmets. Man, shit, like you going to sit up there and say, nah, man, coach, I'm wearing my old.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get to some before I actually do that. There's a guy from the university. My first name is Precious. So that's not anything I would have expected. All right. Maybe his mama enjoyed the movie a lot. So let's get to hold on. Because Buck did talk about Harden going to the Nets, and I never did ask you all about Harden in Brooklyn. And so Harden, Kyrie and KD. I mean, could those guys win?
They should. I mean, that'll be one super team in the East, and you know the Lakers are still out west. Got a new coach with the Clippers, you know. So and then you got Golden State trying to come back since they'll be all healthy. I mean, the strength in the West, but you at least got a shit fire team in the East that could do something, you know, depending on what, you know, Milwaukee
does.
Yeah,
because if you're right about that, because if y'all remember now, before KD got injured there was a championship one, before he got injured, shit, man, it, like he was on his way to easily being, without a doubt, probably the best player in the NBA. Now, I doubt he'll ever get back to that level because he just don't have the body type to sustain a lot of punishment. He's like, it's almost like he's too skinny for his height. I don't know how to explain it. You know what I'm saying? He don't have a build like Dwight Howard or LeBron. He's not solid with his shit. And then he's not as
You're correct.
Athletic
You're correct.
Build the way Kobe was. And Magic was when he was, you know, a smaller dude. So
his legs are
man,
big.
Kevin,
that's probably the reason why he got injured.
Yeah. So
Kevin Durant Kevin Durant looks like Anthony Davis's left leg.
Left leg. That's hilarious.
But, you know, like I said, I definitely don't want to, you know, wish nothing on the dude, but it's kind of hard to see him, especially now that he's over 30, it's kind of hard to imagine him going, you know, 82 games healthy. But assuming he has good health, I mean, shit, he gonna run through the East. He would run through the East with just Kyrie because they don't really have an answer for nobody like him. You know, except maybe
Giannis. That's true, but like you said, he has to stay healthy.
But he has to stay healthy.
Because I mean, when you come up against a team like the Celtics or something like that that's going to make the other three guys work, you're going to have some problems. But regular season, yeah, they can put themselves in a good spot as far as the playoffs are concerned. And I won't even get into the whole play-in tournament they're doing in the NBA. Their playoff system is garbage now. Let me move on to football. I don't even want to get started on that. All right. So, Buck, what player stood out to you in week 10 for the right reason, and who stood out for the wrong reason? And this doesn't include your favorite team, the Steelers.
All right. Well, who stood out for the right reasons as a team? I'm going to say the Giants, because they went from last place to the second in the NFC poorest East. But
that's not hard
to
do.
And it's not hard to do, but this is the thing. It seems like Danny Dimes is starting to get his stride. He's starting maybe the team as a whole is starting to buy into the new coach. Things are starting to change there. If you think back a few years ago, and this was way back when the Giants went on a little bit of a run and went straight to the Super Bowl and beat the undefeated Patriots. And they beat the Patriots during the regular season as well. So I'm not saying that these Giants will do that. However, it just kind of seems a little bit funny because if there might be a winning team, which I don't think it will be, in the NFC East, it just might be these Giants because nobody else in the division is showing me shit. So, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys are last. Washington, you know, maybe if they get Alex Smith in there, maybe they might do a little something. Eagles keep letting me down week in, week out. So the only team that looks like they're starting to get a little bit of a spark is the New York Giants. So for the right reasons, I'm going to say the team, the New York Giants is a team. For the wrong reasons, I'm going to say the New Orleans Saints. And the reason I'm going to say the New Orleans Saints, even though I think they won the game this week, you got to protect your quarterback. You got Alvin Kamara. You got a fairly decent defense. You got your star wide receiver back. You know, even though he's been injured and had some disciplinary reasons is the reason why he has not been playing, Mr. Thomas. But you cannot let somebody come through your offensive line, come through the offensive line and body slam your franchise quarterback. You have to you got to be able to block these guys from coming over there. And Drew Brees is not the biggest quarterback in the world. He's only like 6 foot tall, maybe 5'11". And he just got brutalized. Well, there's a lot of quarterbacks got brutalized this week. But to get thrown down hard enough to break several ribs and make your lung collapse, that's on the offensive line, not blocking. Your running back, not looking out for you. But we kind of figured Drew Brees was probably going to get this because of some of the comments he made before the season. So he kind of had a bullseye on his back. So, but I'm going to blame this on the offensive line and Drew Brees because he kind of had it coming, if that makes sense.
Mm. All right. And just another NBA draft note, Greg Anthony's son, Cole Anthony, got drafted by Orlando Magic. And I was watching all the people celebrate, and I saw Spike Lee jumping around. I said, why is Spike Lee at this man's house? He went to North Carolina. But when I realized he was Greg Anthony's son, Greg Anthony was a New York Knicks for
right.
a while, like, it kind of made sense. Plus, he was in that Little Ballers documentary when he was a kid. So to go from that documentary to being drafted is cool. And 30 years after Greg Anthony was drafted. So, wow. Let me welcome Ray to the show from New Jersey. With Ray.
Hey, what's going on, Q, Buck, Cuz?
Hey, Cuz.
What's up, Ray?
All right, who stood out for you in week 11 for the right reasons and the wrong reasons that wasn't a Las Vegas Raider?
Oh, okay. For the right reasons, Kyler Murray, of course, man. This kid is special. I mean, he's small in stature, but he got one of the best arms in the game. And, man, for them to come back and win the game like they did in spectacular fashion, it was a great catch and it was a great throw. So I'm going to say Kyler Murray for those reasons. Now, who was I disappointed in? I'm probably going to say, that's his question every week, and I don't have nothing prepared too much. But I'm going to probably say Nick Foles, man. I mean, you know, I never thought he was a great quarterback, but.
MVP Nick Foles.
You say what?
I said not Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles. You might be by another Nick Foles.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Foles, I mean, I really think that his best fit was in Philadelphia. It's just glaring with him. A lot of guys would not be in the Hall of Fame if they hadn't stayed with the right coordinator and stuff like that. And people find it hard to believe, but that's the case for a lot of guys that are in the Hall of Fame. They just know where they bread and butter at. Had he stayed with Philly and Carson doing what he's doing, they go back to Nick Foles, who knows what could have happened because he was just made for that system. He never played like that anywhere else. You know, he's a decent quarterback to me, but he's a backup. And with Philadelphia, he's a star. So I say Nick Foles and Kyler Murray, I guess, right now. But who played well and who was the biggest disappointment. So I go with them two guys.
Yeah, I was just thinking too.
Well, Chicago could have a better offensive line, but, you know, there's a glaring problem with Chicago, and I don't know. I'm not sold on Mitch Trubisky either, but with Nick Foles being behind that offensive line, I don't know if you'd put – I mean, you might could even put – somebody like Russell Wilson behind that line and he wouldn't be successful. Chicago offensive line sucks. And I mean in bold letters, capital, underline, italicized in quotation marks, with exclamation points on it. Their offensive line is garbage. So I don't know. I'm not saying that Nick Foles, he might not be a starter, but I think he would play a whole lot better if he had a better offensive line and a run game. And Chicago has neither.
Yeah, man, you ready for my best and worst?
And go ahead, Eminem.
Okay. Yeah, man. I'll start with the best first. Man, it was a lot of people did their thing Sunday, and but man, Rojo down in Tampa, shit, man.
Oh,
that
yeah.
He was busted out like that. And then, you know, now sometimes you'll see a highlight and just say if you didn't see the game, you're like, okay, man, damn, that was a hell of a run. But, you know, he might not have had it. But he had an all-around good game. So I was kind of hoping we could have got Leonard Fournette. But after Sunday, shit, Leonard Fournette, man, shit, he's going to have to – his carry's going to diminish until this dude cool off because he's rolling right now. And – my disappointment, and it's hard for me to even say this, but I'm going to have to explain why I'm so disappointed. Russell Wilson, man, and the reason I'm disappointed is more so it's not just Sunday. It's really like the last three games in the turnover category because, you know, mainly their defense been sucking, but I don't know if – that something's happened offensively or whatever a little bit. But one thing about this, and, you know, all of us have been watching sports, primarily football, all our life, and, you already see what's happening to Drew Brees. You know, I think Russell is too much of a great player, not a good player, but a great player, to go his whole career, possibly, and not have an NFL MVP. And if any year was a great year to almost be a shoe-in to get it, is this year. And I'm just like, now, I ain't saying it's over, but with Kyler Murray just pulling off miracles week after week, Josh Allen, you know, he's still being vulnerable, you know, and Dalvin Cook having spells, and, of course, Aaron Rodgers. So, but still, it was pretty much Russell's to lose them first couple weeks of the season. And I would just kind of hate to see him slide out of that conversation as being the forerunner for the NFL MVP, not only because of this season, but, you know, every year is going to be different. And then, long as Mahomes playing, now you got Kyler Murray. You don't know what any of these young guys going to do. Tua, maybe the next two or three years. So it's going to be other guys who might get favored in that. So I would hate to see him be such a great player. First ballot Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion, all of that, but never have a NFL League MVP to stick by your name when you don't actually deservingly should have been before. But this was the year to do it, and I just really hope he can get back on track with that.
All right. Well, the player that stood out for me this week was rookie wide receiver from Minnesota, Justin Jefferson. He has really just stepped up, man. And
he's really coming
on as a guy that you target a lot. You know, he had 8 catches, 135 yards against Chicago. And so I enjoyed seeing him play. And, you got to give props for that catch D-Hop made. I mean, that's D-Hop being D-Hop. That was an amazing catch. But I'm going to take Justin Jefferson, the rookie. And as far as who disappointed me, I got to say Deshaun Watson. I mean, only being able to put up 7 points against the Cleveland Browns. Now, granted, D-Hop is not there. I get that. David Johnson only plays 3 games a year, so you can't rely on him. But, I mean, 20 for 30, 163 yards and a touchdown is not what – that's more like a first half I would expect against the Browns or something. Not to say the Browns are just horrible, but I just expected
the Browns'
more.
Defense a lot better than people think, though. But I ain't taking nothing away from what you're saying. But they
yeah,
better than what
but
people
I just think.
Think
for just Deshaun Watson on with the trajectory he was going, I just think you gotta do better against a team like this. You know, I mean, Cleveland's not there yet. They're good, but they're not there yet. And I know the Texans are having a bad year, but I just expected more than 7 points. Even if you lose, you got to score more than 7 points, in my opinion. So I have to go with Deshaun Watson. All right. So for our favorite teams, Dallas didn't play. So that was less stress for me this weekend. But for Ray, what about your Raiders? The Raiders put both feet on the Broncos this weekend, 37-12, to move to 6-3. The Broncos dropped to 3-6. And things were a little slow in the first half, Ray, but in the second half, I don't know what happened, man. Y'all just came out with the spirit of Jack Tatum in you or something, and y'all just went ham on these boys. But who stood out for you with the Raiders, and who do you think still needs to step their game up?
Oh, man. I mean, both our running backs. I mean, Devin Booker and Josh Jacobs most definitely. Was, you know, they ran the ball well, and, you know, and Devin Booker just really, I mean, no, Devontae Booker, I'm sorry.
Really
stepping
16
up
carries, 81
and
yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's running hard, and, you know, he's really taking the load off for Josh Jacobs. I mean, Jacobs won't get his 20-plus carries, but, you know, it's nice to have a second back that's not, you know, a scat back or nothing like that, where you can, like Jalen Richard is a good back, but, you know, he's more so just the catch passes and, you know, he don't really run in between the tackles. So we really needed a guy that can back that up, our star running back. But, see, we able to right. do all this and we don't have three starters on our offensive line. I mean, these guys are stepping up for us. You know, Brandon Parker and Sam Young and guys like that, they stepping up on the line. Denzel Good, because we still don't have Trent Brown. We still don't have Richie Incognito. We still don't have Colton Miller. So if we had them guys on the line, oh, man, we would be solid. But for Jacobs to get the yards yeah. and stuff he's getting without three starters on the offensive line, one of which is a Pro Bowler, that's very hard to do. So the only guys we got is Gabe Jackson and Rodney Hudson that's all on the starting line. But as far as the game went, I mean, it was kind of close. It was very close. The first half, it was up by, no, it was 6-10. That's what it was. And the thing is, Drew Lock just kept throwing interceptions. I like Drew Lock. I thought he was going to really turn into something the way he ended the year last year. But, yeah, he threw three interceptions, I believe. And
four.
Three or four, yeah. Yeah, he threw a lot of interceptions. And that really broke him down and hurt him. I mean, we was able to push him around on the field, so that always helps. And our play was just solid. I think our defense stepped up, you know. Jonathan Abram, man, he's flying all over the field for good and bad. But, I mean, he's just reckless. And a guy like that is coming behind you, you got to take that man down because he's going to smash you or whoever else in between. And when a guy plays like that, it's reckless. I like a guy that hits hard and does all that, but at the same time, I play behind guys that don't keep their head up. They run it up your back just as hard as they hitting the man, you know. So you got to be careful. But I like what we did on Sunday, and I think that if we keep it going, that'll be good. I mean, we got Kansas City. The chances of beating them twice is going to be very difficult. So, you know, I give my prediction on that when you ask for it. But we played well. I'm happy.
Okay.
We rolling.
All right. Yeah, y'all ran the ball 41 times. I didn't know I was watching the Raiders or 1986 Nebraska team. I mean, it's like the Denver defensive linemen were tired of getting up.
Oh, ground Chuck so. Back in the day.
All right. So, Buck, we'll move on to you. I talked about how the Raiders jumped on Denver with both feet, and it looks like y'all put some feet to the Bengals yourselves with 36-10 win to go to 9-0. It took a 22-7 halftime lead and stretched that out. The Bengals dropped to 2-6-1. Buck, who stood out for you, and who needs to step it up a notch?
Big Ben stood out. I mean, he silenced the critics this week because, I mean, it was a strange week for us dealing with COVID-19. You know, he close contact, him, Vince Williams, and a couple of other players on our team had to be put in isolation, but were able to come back on Saturday. We did walkthroughs with him. Big Ben stepped out there like Big Ben always does. He got a good rest week, put, you know, iced that elbow, iced those knees, and he got out there and threw for four touchdowns and over 300 yards. So, I mean, Big Ben really, really, you know, showed everybody he's on an MVP pace. You know, he has four interceptions for the year, you know, over 20 touchdowns. You know, somebody that ain't never been in the – I think Big Ben's only gotten one MVP vote in the 17 years or 18 years he's been in the league. He's on that MVP pace now. So, good to see Big Ben finally getting some notoriety. And he's breaking records on a weekly basis. Not only for the Steelers, but, you know, he's moved past Dan Marino here a couple of weeks ago. So, he's doing it big. But somebody that needs to step it up is our running game, James Conner. James Conner, the first three, four games this season, had 300, you know, he had three 100-yard rushing games. But then all of a sudden, the last three games, he's not even getting 50 yards a game. So I'm not sure what – I mean, I know we've had some injuries at fullback with Derek White being out. But we had him back this week and didn't even use him. He was on special teams. In order for us to get a good running game, now, we got a good passing game. I'm not really worried about – I mean, it's something that we need to worry about down the stretch. We need to be able to close out games. 2 or 3 yards in the cloud, 2 yards, 3 yards in a cloud of dust is not enough. You know, at the beginning of the season, he was gashing folks for 5 yards a carry. We need to kind of get back to that because when you're in November and December football, those are things that we need to do in order for us to make, a true championship run. So our offensive line and James Conner needs to step it up. And so those are my two players right there.
All right. And Roethlisberger, 27 of 46, 333, and 4 touchdowns. And James Conner, 13 carries, 36 yards. So he definitely needs to step up. Eminem, Eagles fell 3-5-1 to the 3-7 New York Giants, 27-17. The game was fairly close. I mean, the Giants got out on y'all 14-3. But then you all cut it to 21-17, and at that point, y'all kind of fell asleep, man. I mean, who looked good to you and who needs to step it up?
Well, one person that definitely stood out to me was Miles Sanders. I mean, coming off an injury and running like that and jumping over people, I mean, that is a lot harder to do in the NFL. Well, really on any level, but on the NFL more so than anything when you're a skill player, especially a running back. So I was very impressed with that. I mean, he was running like a bat out of hell. And like I say, you know, it's one of them things like where running backs have to have a mentality. I mean, regardless of what's going on, whether it's the team up or down or whatever, you got to have it in your mind that, hey, I don't want to end the year without 1,000 yards. Or I don't want to end the year with this. I got to have this kind of goal. And when a player got goals, it sticks out. And that's definitely happened with him. Like I say, Boston Scott, he had a good game too. Had a nice, I think, 30-something yard carry. But, and then, you know, Wentz, this is really nothing good or bad. It's definitely nothing bad. But he didn't have any turnovers. So I'm liking that. But it's kind of purgatory, though, because, you know, sometimes when a guy thinking too hard not to have turnovers, it kind of get them off their game. So hopefully he'll just keep improving on that, but find that balance again to just kind of make it work, because that's what we're lacking now. But what sucked and was our second-level defense. And I made all them jokes about Charlie Brown tripping Daniel Jones, and I be damned if this motherfucker didn't get one. He actually got two Sunday, but the second one in the fourth quarter, it was somebody was holding or something, so it came back.
Yeah,
I'm just
they
saying,
called that one
you
back.
Can't have that shit, man. And then the running back for the Giants, I can't think of his name.
Wayne
right now,
Gallman.
One of his scores, he went up in the air just like he Walter Payton or Herschel Walker, and it was just a clear jump. And you can't have that. You know, so it's almost like if shit don't happen with the front with the defensive linemen and the edge rushes, it's like it's a crapshoot with what we gonna do, especially when it comes to the short check downs, stopping the run, whether it's a quarterback or a running back or a screen or something. And you know, and that's not good at all. I mean that absolutely sucks. Because that it's almost like a feast or famine situation. I'm sitting up here like, damn, if Graham or Cox or Barrett or nobody else just really, you know, wreak havoc when a play start, I got to hold my breath saying, damn, if somebody get past the first level, well, shit, this might be a 15-yard or even further score, you know, and that ain't good. We got to fix that shit. Still in first place by half a game. So we got Cleveland Sunday. I know we're going to give our predictions later, but we got Cleveland Sunday. So I'm just saying, like, I'm just shaking my head because I'm sitting up here like, damn, you know, we giving up shit to Daniel Jones. He ain't shit compared to Nick Chubb, you know, and even Baker Mayfield's a better runner probably than Daniel Jones when he want to run. So I'm just saying, like, so we got to fix that, like, ASAP.
All right. And I was talking about the NBA draft earlier. The guy named Precious from University of Memphis, he got drafted by the Miami Heat. He looks like he's a shot blocker. Every highlight they got, he looks like he's blocking shots. But Precious, I don't can't pronounce his last name. And his brother's name, his brother played at St. John's. His brother's name is God's Gift. One word with the apostrophe S, God's Gift, is his brother's name.
Lord.
So, God's Gift is Precious.
Basketball.
Steve, this is where parents need their ass whooped for naming
He can block some shots, looks like, though. He's blocking everything. All right, so in some of the other games, Indianapolis doubled up on Tennessee. That kind of surprised me. Not that they won, but how convincingly they won. Despite Derrick Henry having 103 yards rushing.
Oh, yeah, that was
rushing.
Very convincing.
Yeah.
And Taylor, Jonathan Taylor, and Hines, man, especially Hines, man, they was running their ass.
Yeah, Hines is underrated, man. He does a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And Tampa Bay got a ton of offense to put away Carolina. They doubled up on Carolina. And the Packers barely got by Jacksonville, but a win is a win. You know, Jacksonville kind of, I think they caught the Packers sleeping a little bit. And the Dolphins keep winning, man. I have to give them some credit. They went with Tua, and he's, what, 3-0? And it ain't always pretty, but he's winning.
And
their
defense
talked about
a lot better than what people think, too.
Don't sleep
it's
on
really
the Dolphins.
Good.
Don't sleep
and,
on the Dolphins.
Arizona got over on Buffalo. And with that miracle catch, and when you think about Buffalo missing Josh Norman and I want to say the defensive lineman they were missing, and they still played very well on the road, but, you know, the long arms of D-Hop just too much for them. The Rams.
I mean, that's like you got Mark on steroid. Three people, man. Damn.
Right.
Yep.
The Rams are trying to help ruin Russell Wilson's MVP season. And they got over on the Seahawks by a touchdown. The Saints beat the 49ers, but they lost Drew Brees for however long it takes for a 41-year-old man to heal his ribs. And, man, the Ravens. Woo, the Ravens let a lot of folks down, man. I mean, folks talking about whether the weather was bad. I'm like, man, this team is built for bad weather. They're supposed to be able to run all over the Patriots, but the Patriots ran all over them. The Ravens' defense was bad.
They look real bad.
Get himself together.
Well, see, this is the thing. The film's out. You know, me being the AFC North guy, the film's out on Jackson. And, I mean, there's only so much running. We knew eventually that shit was going to stop. Mm-hmm. You're not just going to get out there. You got to be able to read defenses. You got to be able to pass the ball downfield. You can't just automatically grab the ball and you don't do your checkdowns and take off running. They're going to beat your brains out. I mean, look at all the great quarterbacks. From Warren Moon to Randall Cunningham McNair. These guys were great athletes, but they got their brains beat the fuck out because they were getting drilled because they don't read defenses. It's starting to happen to Jackson. You know,
I don't know if Warren Moon's included in that.
No, he was able to read defenses.
Yeah.
He can definitely read defense. Warren Moon, I take Warren Moon out of that. But Cunningham.
Now, maybe, what's his name? He used to be in New Orleans.
Aaron McNair probably would read defenses, too.
Aaron Brooks, yeah. Aaron Brooks. Oh,
no, Aaron Brooks. He won the worst black quarterback he's ever been.
So, the film is out.
Y'all know it.
So, yep, you're right. The film is out, though, on Jackson.
And he's going to have to start doing some film study if he plans on doing something.
Mark
Hollywood Brown has to run better routes, man. I mean,
right. And then Sneed
got to
catch the ball.
If you can't run no routes,
he can't catch the ball either.
Right. Sneed can't catch the ball, and then Dez Bryant. I don't know what's going on with him.
Hollywood Brown need to get with Antonio Brown,
but No, and Mark Andrews, all these guys out here. The other guy, I forget what his name is, come from New Orleans with the blonde dreadlocks.
Willie Sneed.
All these guys, they out there and they playing ball. Jackson just not reading them defenses. Like what he did last year was incredible. But like Buck say, the film is out. And you got to be able to do more than that. But see, what makes it worse and what a lot of these guys don't understand is when you wearing all these gold chains and shit around your neck, don't get me wrong, I like hip-hop culture too, but it sends the wrong message when you the quarterback.
Yeah.
And when you walk around, I can say what I want to Allen Iverson and shit, it's going to weigh on you. And right now, he taking himself from getting $45 or $50 million a season back down into the 30s by the way he's playing right now. And you can run in your sleep. You need to do something that you're not good at and make that better. And right now, Jackson is not doing it. I'm watching him throw the ball. He the one off. It ain't just them routes. Now, the guy may be off the routes here and there, but he the one off. And he need to fix that if he want to take Baltimore somewhere. Because right now, he sucked in the playoffs 2 years in a row, and this is his third year. So he went to every playoffs he could go to. And his third playoff year hadn't come yet. But he need to do better than that. Because I'm back to talking the same shit I talked his rookie year about it.
Well, not only that, you got the one thing that you got to realize through all of this is this. Now, he may be – I know he's a lot of the problem, but all them receivers that you just named, in the words of Mike Tomlin, they're one-trick ponies. They run down the field in a cloud of dust. They don't run routes. They run outs. You need some guys that can run in the slot, turn, you know, go 5 yards, 10 yards, or go to the sticks and turn around. These guys ain't turning around. They're going straight down the field. They're running fly patterns. That ain't going to get it done. And with somebody that don't know how to read defenses, they in trouble. They in big trouble if they don't fix it.
Did these guys run that way last year?
Yeah, they ran that way last year, but they got away with it last year. They ran the same shit last year they're running this year. The only difference is, I'm going to tell you something else that happened to them this year. Mark Ingram, injured. Their running backs have been injured almost every single week. And see, you don't have a running game to fall back on.
See,
so now they
got
you have
some good
to fall
running
back
now.
On. Their running backs ain't getting it done. And Mark Ingram's been out for the last couple of weeks with hamstring or whatever he's got going.
J.K. Dobbins, man, they got some good running backs.
They got good running backs, but they ain't getting it done because
they got them when
they're
playing.
They come from behind.
Gus Edwards is pretty good too.
They're coming from behind too much, and that makes them one dimensional. And when you become one dimension with a whole bunch of guys that run fly patterns, you're exposed like a $5 hole.
Hey.
Ouch.
But the thing is you get a good quarterback, they going to hit them whether they run straight, flat, hook around, whatever you want to call it. They going to hit them. Yes.
All right.
Tyreek Hill
is
doing the same thing.
Let's take a look at week 11. And, Buck, I'll start with you, man. Thursday night football, Arizona at Seattle.
I'm going Arizona. I mean, I really like what, you know, Kyler Murray's doing down there. I know Seattle at home, and Seattle's got a hell of a offense. I love Russell Wilson. But I think Kyler Murray and company, I think they got a little bit more firepower, so I'm gonna have to go with I'm going with Arizona. I hate to, but I'm gonna have to.
Okay. And Eminem, Cincinnati comes to Washington to play the football team.
Oh, man. This should be a nice bounce-back game for the Bengals, so I'm definitely taking the Bengals. Burrow is of the rookie quarterbacks, man. He's really adapting well. So you know, at the pace he's going, you know, Cincinnati ain't gonna do shit this year. But I think they got a bright future through him eventually, anyway.
All right, Ray, you got Detroit at Carolina.
Oh man. I'm gonna take Carolina because man, Carolina's been playing real good football, man. They just ain't been coming out on the winning end. You know, I like what Bridgewater's doing. I mean, I believe he's in the league in percentage. I think.
Yeah, he got hurt.
I
don't know if he's gonna come back. And I know McCaffrey got hurt again too.
You're talking about week before last, right?
Week before last, but Bridgewater got hurt Sunday.
And McCaffrey's not playing. He's not playing this week.
Wow. I mean, I don't know who the backup quarterback is. Bridgewater tough, but I mean, he got a serious injury.
The backup is the guy
do.
From the the XFL. He was like the MVP of that. I can't remember his name.
Oh, okay.
Well, he came from that league that fell apart or whatever, that other AFL, something. I can't think of the acronym for
XFL.
What is his name? It's not Will Greer, is it?
Nah.
Philip Walker.
Walker.
Yeah, like P.J. Walker or something like that.
Lil Walker.
All right. All right, Buck, New England at Houston.
Who cares? Take your girl out to the mall, have a good time, get a picnic. Man, these are two bad teams. I mean, I know New England won last week.
And they won the week before that, too.
And they won the week before that, too. But, you know, man, I really feel bad for Deshaun Watson because he, you know, he's shell shot because he doesn't have D-Hop. So, and plus the defense with Houston is just, it's a shadow risk for myself as well. So, I think New England's going to go ahead and pull it off again. So,
they'll be 5-5, but watch out.
Man, please, give me a break. You got Pam Newton at quarterback. Come on.
All right. Eminem, Philadelphia at Cleveland.
Oh man, this should be a trap game for Cleveland. They got their head kind of big, but like I say, I don't see Cleveland winning twice, and I don't see us losing twice. You know, and like I say, you know, because some tweaks here and there. Like I say, you know, if we show up that second level defense. And neutralize Chubb and everything they're trying to do in a short game, we should have a pretty good time with Cleveland. So, Philly.
All right. We shouldn't let Eminem pick Eagles games. We should get somebody else to do it. All right.
I know, right?
And Buck, Pittsburgh at Jacksonville.
This old AFC North foe always gives us fits, and I know they're gonna give us fits, even though they don't have a good record. However, our defense is on point. Big Ben's on point, and we gonna be on point. I'll actually be at this game this coming Sunday, so Pittsburgh and a landslide.
All right, and some breaking news that has nothing to do with sports, and it's just something else tragic happened to his family. Bobby Brown Jr. was found dead, 28 years old.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So So
who
Bobby Christian is gone. Bobby Jr. is gone. Witten is gone. 28 years old. They don't believe foul play is involved.
What was he living at, Q? Do it say?
Los Angeles.
Okay.
Yeah,
damn.
I think it was in L.A.
He's gonna have to have his prerogative and have some more kids because he got to replace all the ones that don't.
He got seven, but I mean,
yeah, he got more kids.
Man, that's sad.
Oh, okay, he got enough. Damn.
Okay, so that's a horrible book. Anyway,
yeah, that is man. I couldn't even laugh
that
at that.
That is horrible.
Damn.
Even for this show's standards, that is horrible.
Oh, what is
man, he still got five more. Anyway,
damn.
Hey, hold on. Let me. Let me mess out of here. All right. Ray, Atlanta at New Orleans.
Oh, man. Hell, this should be a good
no
one.
Drew Brees.
I think that James gonna come out and man, he gonna be throwing that ball like he was back in Tampa Bay. Now, I just hope that he can throw it to the right guys
in the right jerseys. Did they name a starter? Because first they were saying they hadn't had a starter name.
They hadn't named a starter yet.
They said they want to confuse the defense, but I expect it to be Jameis. Shit, Taysom Hill. He's a gadget player. I don't think he can start. You know what I mean? I think if they ain't got no film on him, he can look good. Don't get me wrong, he's good at what he does, but trying to put him behind center and let him run offense, and they be successful on long term, I don't think they'd be able to do that. James can go down the field as good as anybody in the NFL. He just got to throw it to the right guys. But had he not had those 30 interceptions, that cost him $30 million.
Yeah.
It probably cost him $1 million interception. Because when he had 33 touchdowns and over 5,000 yards, man, that's excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He led the league in
passing
last year. And the thing is he was hitting Mike Evans like he's supposed to, even better than Tom Brady. Ain't nobody going to say it because he had all throwing the ball to the other guys. But as far as
Godwin
became a star under him and everything, everybody was
going to say, if you add the pick sixes that he threw, he accounted for 39, 40 touchdowns last year.
Oh, yeah.
If he makes some good decisions, like, you know, be like maybe three touchdowns to every interception or something, he'll be all right.
He got
that's
the count.
One of them cases, though, where probably too little, too late, and he got.
I think he's going to replace Breeze down there.
He's gonna have to kind of do what Bridgewater did. He's gonna have to keep the ship going. If they tank out, then that's gonna be it. He'll be a fellow backup.
Oh yeah, somebody riding on there.
If he go
4-0 or something like that, man, he gonna have suitors.
Oh yeah,
he's
gonna be the man. If he go 4-0, only thing gonna get him out of going 4-0 if New Orleans pick up Dak. Now if New Orleans pick up Dak, well, that's gonna be a wrap for everybody other than Breeze.
And I tell you what, if he does have to play it all the way out, can you imagine him playing Tampa Bay and how ready he gonna be for that one?
Ooh,
man.
You're talking about a game as far as build up, you know, something tailor made for storylines and shit like that. Man, that'll be some great stuff. I would love for that for James, man, because I hate the way, you know, he got dicked around in college and all that kind of stuff. So I would love for that to happen. But, you know.
All right, let's move on. Let's see. Bucks, Tennessee at Baltimore.
Tennessee. I just think Tennessee needs to bounce back. And after losing in the elements,
to a weak ass New England team. I don't know if they gonna bounce back this week from that. So I got to go with Tennessee because they got a little bit of something to prove. So Tennessee, come to Baltimore, whoop that ass.
Okay. And the New York Knicks drafted a shooting guard from Argentina. So I don't know if he can play or not. But all right, Eminem, the Jets at the Chargers.
Wow. They're not gonna get it done. The Jets gonna be 0-10. So. Chargers.
All right. Y'all go ahead and time stamp this at 10:22 Eastern time on November the 18th. The Jets are going to win their only game in this one. The Jets are going to fly across the country, and they're going to upset the Chargers.
Time stamp. Okay, it's stamped.
All right.
Stamp.
Okay, Ray, Miami at Denver.
Oh man, them Dolphins is hot as a pistol. I'm gonna pick Miami Dolphins. I like what they're doing right now. Coach, Tua, the running game, the wide receivers, the defense. I'm taking Miami.
All right. Buck, Green Bay at Indianapolis.
Green Bay.
Okay. And Dallas at Minnesota, I take Minnesota. Ray, let me go back to you on this one, Ray. Kansas City at Las Vegas for the night game.
I mean, we're going to be at home, but these guys not lost all year except to us. And the chance of us beating them twice is going to be extremely difficult. It's kind of like fantasy when you see the line going 78% for this person, 22% for that one. It's going to have to be really something big happen. I mean, it's possible, but I don't think we'll be able to beat them twice, so I'm going to have to go with the hottest team in the league. Well,
okay.
Besides the Steelers, I guess, but the hottest team in the league, they're the champ, so I'm picking champ.
And Kansas City recently picked up DeAndre Baker. You know, DeAndre Baker, check out this timeline on him.
Giants.
First round pick in 2019. Played 16 games with the Giants, got accused of 4 counts of armed robbery, got cut by the Giants, got cleared of all charges, and his opposing lawyer got charged with extortion. And now he's signing the contract with the Chiefs. So that dude had a crazy 2 years.
What's the other guy named that plays for Seattle? They didn't cut
I don't
him
remember the other
playing
guy.
Pro Bowl like football. Yeah, him and Baker.
Yeah.
You know the story on that, right? Dumb guys
went to a
dice game and lost like $50,000 or $60,000. Come back in a Lamborghini and pull guns on the guys and got all their money back. And no mask, no nothing. Yeah. No, I'm serious. I can't think what Quentin Dunbar, that's the other guy named.
Dunbar.
Yeah, they didn't cut Dunbar, he playing real good ball. But DeAndre Baker was, you know, they just scored a touchdown on him in college and stuff like that down in Georgia, and they picked him. But then his rookie year wasn't all that great, so they could let him go. And he almost lost his career behind this, but I believe he paid the right folks and greased a few palms, and if people don't testify, you can get away with all that. But man, I wish your boy would use his head.
Yeah.
Some people like ice skating uphill.
Right. I mean, doggone, man. I mean, a doggone Lamborghini is flashy enough, and then you're not going to wear a mask?
Yeah.
But
and come back. And
right.
When you pull a gun
and
you got to use it, that's a problem.
Also, speaking of the Chiefs, you know, they let go of Breland Speaks, their defensive end from Ole Miss who went to Callaway High School. The Cowboys just signed him. So the Cowboys trying to get another pass rusher.
I didn't know.
How many pass rushers does Jerry Jones think we need?
Two. You need more than what you got.
He was on the Raiders practice squad. So. They signed him from the Raiders practice squad. But they need to start letting some of these folks go, man. They got too many people. I need you to be finding some linebackers and DBs somewhere. All right, so Eminem Monday night, a good game, the Los Angeles Rams and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I think I'm going to take the Rams in this one, man. They actually are kind of building some good continuity with Goff. I think with Kyler Murray doing so well and Wentz not doing so well, I think that kind of took the burden off him, and now he just kind of, you know, playing within the system, and it's paying off, you know. So I think they might sneak this one in if they can stop Rojo. Now, Rojo get going, it's over with, but Tom Brady's not a threat like that no more. But I'm going to take the Rams.
All right. All right, let's get into some Who Am I's, play a little this or that, and wrap this up. So we're going to run through these real quick so Ray can get all five of them. All right, let me know when y'all are ready.
Let me get away from this alarm. I got some kind of little malfunction right here. I want to make sure you hear my answers, man.
Yeah, go ahead and get your excuses out there. All right, y'all ready?
Make sure the dog barking in the background. Let's go.
5'11", 180-pound wide receiver, 51 years old. Played at Notre Dame, drafted in 1991 in the fourth round by the L.A.
Tim Brown. Tim Brown.
Who am I?
No, nope. Rocky Ismail.
Rajid Ramadan Ismail, a.k.a. The Rocket.
I thought he played with Colorado. No, he didn't. No, Airbnb.
I am a 6'3", 218-pound quarterback. Drafted. It doesn't look like. No, he wasn't drafted, I guess. Played his college ball at Washington. 64 years old. He played his first season in the NFL in 1984 with the Houston Oilers. Who am I?
Oh, what's the name, Daddy, man? Damn. Look.
No. He got his start in
Warren Moon? Warren Moon.
Harold Warren Moon.
Ah, damn. I thought it was somebody. Okay, my bad. Damn.
Hi. 6'3". I am a 5 foot.
I didn't know he was that old. Damn.
I didn't know he was that old either. I was like 64.
Yeah.
He was 5 foot.
Yeah, I was thinking about Andrew Luck, Daddy, man. Okay.
Hey, no. I'm going to let the man read the question.
They're not going to get it no way.
You know you won't get them all, so shut up. Shit.
5'10", 200-pound defensive back, 61 years old, drafted in the first round in 1971 out of Ohio State by the Oakland Raiders. Who am I?
Lester Hayes.
Michael Haynes.
Played free safety.
Lester Hayes.
Somebody just said it. I couldn't tell who it was.
Jack Tatum?
I
did.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
John David Tatum.
I said it
Tatum.
Three fucking times.
I couldn't tell who said it. I just heard it.
I said it three times.
All right, Bucks on the board.
Shit.
Here we go.
I heard that clear, though. I ain't lying. I heard that clear.
I heard it. I just couldn't recognize the voice. I am a 6'2", 215-pound defensive back. All right, 51 years old, drafted in the ninth round in 1991 by the San Francisco 49ers out of Pittsburgh.
Merton Hanks.
No.
Oh, I mean, out of Pittsburgh.
You may know me for my career in the booth more so than on the field.
Damn.
Abil Jamila.
Played three seasons in Cleveland in 93, 94, 95. And now he's the only brother on Monday Night Football.
Riddick. Louis Riddick.
Louis Angelo.
Oh,
Riddick.
Man. You guys, you act like every man solid ain't the man booger.
Right.
Damn it.
Ray's title is on the line. 2-for-2, great
hey,
title on the line.
I already got two, so they can't do nothing but tie.
But Buck has two. If he gets this one, he wins.
Oh, what got
All right.
you? All right.
Yeah, here we go.
Put it to bed, then.
All right. Five-time Pro Bowler. Five-time All-Pro. 6'5", 288-pound defensive end. Out of Wisconsin, drafted in the first round by the Houston Texans in 2001.
J.J.
Watt.
J.J. Watt.
I already said it.
Has claimed the title.
Oh,
that's what I'm talking about.
Oh,
no,
man.
Down goes Frazier.
Man,
down goes Frazier.
I
think
Buck
got
it out.
You on that one.
I had it, but I couldn't get it out. No.
Justin,
hey, y'all sure I didn't get that
J.J.
first?
J.J. Watt, they had it.
You sure I didn't get that one first?
I got it first.
I
got it first.
Honestly.
Oh, man, this is the equivalent. This is the equivalent of John Wooden's UCLA team losing. Or whatever.
Man.
Raiders won like 89.
We're
going to
have to get
hey,
them.
We're
going to have to get
them
the red flag we can throw out for the replay sometime. You got to get us a flag sometime.
I'm going to write this down. Let's see. Buck wins. Who am I? Because I want to see how long it is before anybody else beats Ray.
I'm
not
beat you,
Ray.
Stewart, I just could not get it.
Ray,
out.
You
when
don't know how hard
Wisconsin.
It is to beat you. Ray sit there and go, and it, by the time he say that turn, he got the name of the
no
man. Ray knows everybody, man.
He knows everybody.
Ray, he is a walking. What's that book that come out? The Athlon Sports Book.
He is a
book of world records.
See, the guys who played during our time is easy. When we start getting up 51 or 64 years old and all that, then it gets harder. But anybody that's, 38 and 26 and all that,
man,
will knock them down.
If they're in the last 10 years, I struggle. But I can,
yeah,
I can get a lot of folks.
I struggle when it's five.
You get the older player.
Between,
I can't get it out. I be wanting to say it.
Between
be like,
1975 and 2005, I'm good. But it's the recent ones that get me. Because, I had a lot more time. That's all I did back then. So, all right. So, let's do some this or that. I got six of them for you, and then we'll shut this thing down. So, we'll go ahead and start with you, Buck. And this or that, linebacker Jesse Tuggle or Pepper Johnson?
Oh, that's
easy. I'm going to go Tuggle.
All right, Ray.
Tuggle. He's a tackling machine.
Eminem?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Tuggle too. Better athlete.
All right, no love for Pepper Jones.
Nah.
Nope.
All right.
Wrong team.
Eminem.
He played wrong team.
Eminem, wide receiver. Wide receiver. Henry Ellert or Flipper Anderson?
Ooh, let me go with Henry Ellert. Sure-handed Henry Ellert.
All right. Buck?
Ellert.
Henry Ellert or Flipper Anderson?
Ellert.
All right. Ellert, almost 14,000 yards. Who you got, Ray? Flipper or Ellert?
Oh, Henry Ellert, man. He was part of that bomb squad. Ben Fouts, tight end, all them guys, man. Charlie
West Chandler.
Yeah, West Chandler.
I think you thinking about Charlie Joyner or something. Like Henry Ellert played with the Rams.
Yeah, he played with the Rams.
Yeah,
I'm talking about that era.
Yeah, that's right. Sure enough. Yeah. So he played with
Harold Jackson.
Quarterback. No, what's that?
He called Jim Everett in the 90s. Probably Vince Ferragamo, maybe.
Yeah, that's it. Ferragamo.
Yeah,
Vince
Ferragamo.
I think Brent Jones played there a little while too.
So,
okay.
All right. So here we go, Ray. Speaking of Jim Everett, Everett or Jeff George?
Oh man, Jeff George
in their
had
prime.
One of the best arms. But he never could put it all together. So I'm thinking I'm going to have to go with, But Jim Everett had a lot more talent around him, I believe. I don't know. No, you can't say that because during George's time, he had Falk and all of them, right? So I'm going to go with Jeff George, I guess.
All right. Eminem, Jeff George, or Jim Everett?
I'm gonna have to slide to Everett on that one. Jeff George probably got one of the prettiest, best looking spiral deep balls ever, but that's the only thing I'm gonna give him. But as a complete quarterback, I'm gonna go with Everett. Hand it off to Eric.
But,
man, this is really difficult. I think I'm gonna have to go with Everett on this one because Jeff George had some talent, but he just never really could put it together all the way. Everett was more of a complete quarterback, and he beat up Jim Rome. So,
call him Chris Everett. All right, Buck, I'm gonna stick with you. Wide receiver, Green Bay. Wide receiver, Robert Brooks. Pittsburgh, Yancey Thigpen.
You know what? Yancey Thigpen at the prime was a really good receiver. Now, I know he don't have all the flashy numbers and everything, but Yancey Thigpen had something that a lot of receivers didn't have, which was the comeback catch. So I'm going to go with Yancey Thigpen.
All right. And Ray, who you got, Yancey Thigpen or Robert Brooks?
I'm probably going to go with Thigpen. I think Thigpen had better years. The Thigpen was a very good receiver for a while out there. So, you know, I think he was coming along with in the late 90s. And he's the best receiver Matt had for a while. So, I'm going with Thigpen.
All right. Eminem?
Oh, man, I agree with the other guys, man. You know, as far as the individual player, Yancey, I mean, when he was healthy, he was the man. And matter of fact, he
yeah, that was
hurt
a problem.
When he got traded from the Steelers to the Titans, he was even hurt during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But head-to-head, Yancey's the better athlete. But I think Brooks fits better in the way the schemes ran or whatever, so I'm going to say Brooks.
Okay. Yeah, I think Yancey Thigpen, if he could have stayed healthy for most of his career, I think he definitely would have been a guy that would have gotten over 10,000 yards. And, all right, two more. Eminem, defensive lineman, Neil Smith or Clyde Simmons?
Oh, man, that's pretty easy. Clyde Simmons, man. Clyde Simmons is a monster.
All right. Buck?
Simmons.
All right. Ray?
Shit, Neil Smith.
You saw Neil Smith in that AFC West?
Yeah, shit. Neil Smith and Derek Thomas? Ooh, man. Neil Smith. I love the Eagles defense though that they had that time. But
you know who's on the other side of the Clyde Simmons? It's like so that you had Neil Smith.
Reggie
White on the other side.
And Jerome Brown was
at DT, so I mean it's like yo, that was a squad, man.
Yeah, but you couldn't double team none of them, but Neil Smith, man. Neil Smith was that man out there for a long time.
Yeah, Neil Smith had four straight seasons of double-digit sacks. Clyde Simmons had four seasons where he went over double digits, led the league with 19 in 1992. He finished with 121.5 sacks, and Neil Smith finished with 104. So,
okay.
All right, last one. And, you know, this one may be the most controversial. All right. But, you know, here on the Very Unsportsmanlike podcast, that's what we deal with. We deal with controversy. So, all right, Ray, you ready for it?
Yeah.
Matt Stover or Aldell Greco?
Boy, please.
You can't stop him. You can only contain him.
Man, Del Greco was the man for a long time. So, I mean, he was just a fool, but he was good. Now, who was the other guy you said?
Matt Stover. He kicked for all those years with Cleveland and Baltimore.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm going to have to go with Matt Stover. I think he was more consistent. Because Del Greco, he was hot as fish grease for a few years, and then he started missing everything he kicked after that. So,
fish grease.
You know, doing all these funny dances and everything. And then I think he actually hurt himself clowning one time. And, yeah, I'm going to have to go with Matt Stover. Stover was more consistent.
All right. Buck, who you got?
I know you want me to say your boy Del Greco, but I got to go with Stover. Stover had, I think he had more points during his career, more consistent. So, got to go Stover.
Eminem?
Overall, it's Stover hands down. But because I believe we going by everybody in their prime and even, you know, just if everything was perfect, I'm taking the Greek Freak.
The Greek?
All right.
Oh, Al Del Greco looking for you, cuz.
Al Del Greco kicked in three decades, man. He kicked from the 80s all the way up to 2000. But Matt Stover did have more accuracy. So, all right, I ain't gonna leave y'all on the kicker, so I will give you one more. All right. Return men. All right, we're talking return men only. Eminem, Herschel Walker or Mel Gray?
Herschel Walker.
Okay. And Ray, Herschel Walker or Mel Gray?
Oh, I'm going to say Mel Gray. Mel Gray is one of the greatest that would do it. I like Herschel Walker. He was very versatile. But Mel Gray.
Okay. But?
You got to go Herschel Walker because people were just absolutely frightened of him when he was even bringing back returns. Kickoff and punt returns, because they were scared to tackle his big ass. So
he did it late in his career, too.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he just straight bulled up. Well, let me reverse that. He straight tractorized people when he hit them. So
I'm interested to see what the numbers look like on that.
All right. Let's see. Herschel Walker. Mel Gray. No, not Mel Gray with the Cardinals. All right, Mel Gray, 10,250 return yards and 6 touchdowns. Herschel Walker, let me find his return yards. Herschel Walker, 5,084 return yards and 2 touchdowns. And
so
on
that's punt
returns,
and kick return?
That's just kick. On punt returns, he only returned 8 punts. He averaged 18
ain't
yards.
Ain't close, y'all.
A punt.
Mel Gray was a
and Mel Gray.
No, what about tackles on kickoff? He did that a few times too.
Mel Gray. Well, hold on. Let me make sure I wasn't looking at playoffs. I may have accidentally been looking at playoffs. All right. Mel Gray on returns. Over 10,000 return yards. He had 6 that he brought back for touchdowns. 2 of them for over 100 yards. And for punt returns, he averaged 11 yards a punt return for his career. And he had 3 punt return touchdowns. And, yeah, the numbers I gave you for Herschel were correct. 5,000 kickoff return yards, 2 touchdowns for kickoffs, and Yeah, the punt numbers I gave you were actually for playoffs. He never returned a regular season punt. So, yeah, Mel Gray did have some better numbers. And I remember, man, watching him on Thanksgiving, and he terrorized Chicago on Thanksgiving. But, all right, so that's going to do it, fellas. I got some more interesting twists in the future. I'm going to give you all some coach matchups and some other interesting matchups. And, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So, but that's all I got. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this thing up, and we'll do it again next week. Let's see. I'm trying to see what my schedule looks like next week. And next week we'll probably do it on Tuesday, since that's going into the holiday for Thanksgiving. So we'll do it on Tuesday of next week, 8:30 p.m. And I'll catch you fellas then.
Sounds good.
All right. You've been listening to the Very Unsportsmanlike Podcast. Go to anchor.fm/15yards to follow the show. Everyone have a good one. We'll talk to you next week. Peace out.